Because he has and is equipped with a manifest power and the glory of God. He's equipped with the word of God, undiluted. He will say it as it is. And I want you to make welcome this morning with rising on your feet. Because you are not honoring him, you are honoring the God that is speaking through him. And this morning we are going to be attentive as he's going to expressly deliver the word of God, the heart of God that is within him that we need for this season. This is a season of courage. And just the songs that we just rendered this morning, it's about courage. If you listen to every word in that song, it says goodbye to my sorrow. You don't just say it like ordinary word. You say it with everything within you. That I am saying goodbye to my sorrow, to my failure, because there is a word within me. So as I deliver the word of God this morning, I come in with that song, O God. And please make your hands welcome by putting it together for Deacon Oluwale. Please make it well.
I'm honored to be sitting next to you. Can we say it out loud? I'm honored to be sitting next to you. God is going to bless you today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible says we need to prefer one another. It's an honor to be sitting next to your neighbor. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to start by honoring the man of God in the house, the father of the house. And the reason why I'm doing this is because he is a man after God's heart, and he has given us a platform to express ourselves. So I want you to join me to honor the man of God, Pastor Larry Jordan. Can we give him a hand? Let's bow down our head. Father Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand. I will pray, Lord, that every word that will come out today will be a word from you to us personally in the name of Jesus. Lord, open our eyes to see the truth of your word in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I ask for help in the name of Jesus, that you anoint this lip of clay to dispense your word in spirit and in truth in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to be talking about something that every one of us can relate to. It is something that is important for our well-being. And I will start by reading a scripture. Probably we have not connected this scripture to what I'm going to say before. But I want us to talk about the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts of Apostles, chapter 24. And I will start reading from verse 16. And this is Paul talking. He said, "Herein do I exercise myself. This is the way I do things. To have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." I'm going to read it again. This is Paul talking. He said, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." Today I'm going to be talking about the topic called courage to forgive. Can somebody say courage to forgive? Every one of us have been offended at one time or the other. Let me reverse it. Every one of us have offended somebody at one time or the other. But much more, every one of us have offended God at one time or the other. It takes courage to forgive. I even dare to say it takes faith to forgive. I'll start by saying this, conscience. When you offend somebody, and you know you offend them, and you do not make reconciliation, your conscience is tampered with. That's why when you see them, you feel uneasy. When they call you, you feel uneasy. When somebody mentions their name, if you are bold enough, say, "Don't talk to me about that person." That is your conscience warning you that something is wrong. Our conscience is so important. That was why Paul was saying this. That I exercise a conscience that is void of offense. First, towards God and towards man. Our conscience is important because that is the way that God alerts us. That's the way God speaks to us. That's the way God communicates with us. So if our conscience is tampered with, our mode of communication or reception from God is tampered with. And that's why so many people say, "I try to hear God." It looks as though the heavens are locked. Conscience. And something I found that is so important is this. Every man of God, every woman of God, every son of God needs to deal with it at one point or the other. You can't run away from it. You have to work on it. Every time your conscience is there, are you in offense towards somebody or towards God? Sometimes it is towards God. God asks you to do something. Go and say hello to that person. As simple as that instruction is, you can disobey it. You can just say, "I'm not in the mood of saying hello now." And you just done something to your conscience. And God is now waiting for you. And that day you will need something very, "God, I need it now." God said, "What I asked you to do, have you done it?" "God, I will do it later." And God said, "When you finish doing it, let me know." Now, what we think was not important suddenly has become very important. I pray God will give us courage to forgive. Amen. Another part is this. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Sometimes your spirit is constantly alerting you, particularly husband and wife. Do you know what you say might not be wrong? The attitude with which you say it can be wrong, and you are still wrong. And every one of us have to watch it. What you do to other people is important. What you do to God is important. Even what you do to yourself is important. This is so important. Please, it is your responsibility to keep your conscience clear. Did you notice Paul said, "Herein do I exercise myself to always have conscience clear of offense towards God and towards man." Paul did not say that, "I'm praying that God will do it." Many of us, what God has asked us to do, we are asking Him to do it. And to God is high of full responsibility. If God said you should do something, and you are telling him to do the same thing, God is looking at you. That was why I asked you to do it. Can you imagine? Power said, Dike Wale, I want you to go and visit the sister. This is the address. This is the time that you want you to do it. And suddenly I called Pastor the next day. Pastor, I don't think I want you. You go and visit that sister. How do you think you will feel? So that's why many of the prayers that we are praying, what God asks you to do, you are begging him to do it. And God is saying, why did you think I give you brain? Why did you think I called you my son? So it is important. Let us work on it. The area of forgiveness is so important that I've seen it, that every time people don't do it, when you take it for granted, it goes ahead to haunt you. Maybe not today. Do you know many people have been living with the hurt for the last 20 years of their life? Every time they remember that hurt, they said, I will never forgive that man. I will never forgive that girl. I will never forgive that family. I will never forgive my mom. I will never forgive my dad. And do you know, when that is at the core of your being, it suspends your receiving mode from God. Sometimes we don't know, and God is helping us through. That was why sometimes God, the pastor was saying, by you being alive today is the grace of God. He knows what he's doing. Do you know how many things that you are doing wrong and God is covering by grace? And God is saying, if this person knew what he's doing, he would not be doing it. But for time being, let me cover the person. And do you know, when God is covering you, he's not condoning sin. He's just waiting that one day the person will hear it so that he will repent and make amends and be able to come back. And that is why God is sending that word to you today. Are you going to say, it's just one of those things preachers say in church? Or you are going to look back and say, God, you've been trying to call my attention to this. I'm sorry. Do you know all it takes is, I am sorry. And when God corrects you, and you do this, you pretend as though you didn't hear, you're a proud person. When other people correct you, and you know you are wrong, and you did not take to that correction, it's a point of pride. Do you know sometimes, when our children correct us, we that are parents, you know what we do? We climb through the high horse of being a parent, and we say this word, how dare you? Do you know how old I am? Do you know since when I've given birth to you? Do you know how many of your colleagues that when they see me, they start kneeling down from the corridor? And the issue is this. What they said you did was wrong. Instead of you saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, you went through the eye ops and start quoting histories that doesn't have business bearing with what we are talking about. And you know one thing, your act is being checked. Are you going to exercise your heart devoid of offense towards God or towards God? Did you notice that Paul was not saying that I'm only responsible to God? He's saying I'm responsible to people too. Because many of us, they say, my relationship with God is okay. That is what I'm working on. But my relationship with men, who cares about it? How come God cares about it? Did you know that you cannot even relate well with God? That you can't see. If you cannot relate well with human being, that you can see. Many of us try to relate well with God. God, it is only you that I know. It is only you that I'm trying to. You are the only one that understands me. Did you notice those statements? And God is saying to you, why don't you listen to me? When I ask you to go and do something, why did you disobey me? I said, God, I didn't disobey you. He said, when I asked you to say hello to that sister, why did you walk back? When I asked you, when you were doing the last shopping, pack some shopping for that person, why did you disobey me? And many of us are, God, I didn't have enough. God said, you think I didn't know that? You thought I forgot about it.
He said, if you have obeyed me, I would have compensated you. But now you lost the compensation. Why? Because you are full of yourself. I pray God will grant us courage to forgive. Many of us, we are good to quote the Ten Commandments. That I'm obeying all the Ten Commandments. But do you know that Ten Commandments is not the only commandment in the Bible? God was the one that gave Moses the Ten Commandments. But do you know there are so many other commandments in the Bible? Just because they were not in Exodus chapter 20 doesn't mean they are not commandments. Let me give you one of the commandments. Can you open your Bible to the book of Mark 11? Many times when we read this scripture, some people say, I want my faith to work. This may be one of the reasons why the faith is not working. Mark 11, verse 25. The Bible says, when you stand praying, what did he say? Many of us have done that with them. When you stand praying, do what? Can I read it again? When you stand praying, forgive. Did the Bible say, if you like, forgive? If you feel like it, forgive. When you are thinking about it, forgive it. When it's your time to forgive, forgive. Or if you don't feel like it, forgive. Did you notice that? He said, when you start praying, forgive. It means that you don't qualify praying if you don't forgive. How many of us pray without forgiving? Many. Some people will just do something now and they'll just start praying. And God said, go and deal with that. They said, no! Rather than standing to pray, I will kneel down to pray so I will not forgive. See how our mind works. You think by kneeling down, you are not qualified to pray. Because the Bible said, life says, when I stand praying, I should forgive. So I will quickly kneel down and not forgive. But do you know what is this? When you don't forgive, don't do the other part of the scripture. Do you know how many of us will not pray? Father said, let's pray now. We are supposed to step out. Pastor, I'm sorry, I can't pray now. I'm not qualified to pray. Let me forgive first. Okay. And many prayers are wasted. Why? You didn't do what he asked us to do. And that's the command. Jesus Christ said, when you start praying, what? Forgive. If you have anything against who? Anyone. The Bible says only with your friends. With your sister, with your pastor, with your husband, with your in-laws. The Bible says, anyone. He said something about it. Also, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. I said something that will offend God. Do we not? So if we cannot forgive men, God said, whatsoever you sow, that you will. So don't come to me about forgiveness if you have chosen not to forgive. Somebody said you don't know what the person did. So what about what you did against God? Do you know? It pained me, God. It pained me. You know you can be crying and forgive somebody. You can be crying. It's allowed. The Bible says God did not say when you are crying. You can be crying and be pissed. I choose to forgive this. Irrespective of what they've done. Irrespective of how they've hurt you. You know God understands. And God wants to heal that hurt. When you don't forgive people, and you are, I will show you the picture that God showed me. God showed me that when somebody hurts you and you don't forgive them, it's like you have a wound that has a glass inside. You now bandage the wound with the glass and you are hoping that wound will get healed. And you keep the glass there. Every time the wound is sustained, the first rule of keeping, they will first remove everything that is there. If you don't remove it, and you keep bandaging it, I don't care how many ointments you put, I don't care how many medications you put, it will get me. But God said, forgive. When you forgive, you remove what is inside. Now the wound can be healed. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Particularly in our family life, it is so important that we keep mutual restoration. God wants to heal everyone. God wants to heal you. Even in church relationship, He wants to heal you. But the first thing is that you have to forgive the person. Somebody said, how do I forgive the person even when they've done it again and again and again? That question was raised. The disciple called Jesus Christ. He said, how many times should we sin against, or should somebody sin against me so that I will have enough to forgive them? Is it not like us? We are asking this question. How many times must that person offend you so that I will know it's enough? Or to say that, at least you've done it 25 times now. And God said after 25 times, I should not forgive you. Do you know how many times? Somebody want to help me?
790.
That's one. 490. That's a good one. How many of us can count down 490 for a particular sin? How many of us? And one good thing about it is this. If God required of us to forgive our fellow human beings, if they offended us 490, God would do better. Don't you think? Don't you think? But many of us, seeing that we've repented of from God, we are still abhorring them. Do you know how many people, when they start their prayer, the first thing they just say, God, you know that being a sinner, and this one, and they go on. And God said, I'm forgiving you. Ah, they said, no, you have not forgiven. You didn't remember. I was behaved badly. And God said, I'm forgiving you. Do you know the problem is this? It is the way we hold other people responsible. That's the way we think our Father is. So we think God will not easily forgive us. But God said, if you come to me, just for one, if you've done it, God doesn't hold things the way we hold it. I'm sorry, Lord. This is what I've done. And God said, I'll forgive. He said, if you repent of all anything that you do, He will forgive you. He forgives you. Praise the Lord. Can I even go further? What about the sin that we sin against ourselves? Somebody believe this. Say, even me, myself, it takes me at least 1 month to forgive myself. You know, thank you, I'll forgive you. And sometimes the way we say it with pride. Ha! I will show you. Before I know I will forgive you, it is in the Bible, but it will take me 3 months. Can you live this month without praying? How many of us can live 3 months without praying? A day without praying. Especially if you're a mother and you see that you have a sick child in front of you. Would you rather have that child not okay than to hold to any animosity against anybody? So it's not about them. Forgiveness is not about the person. It's about you. God wants to help you. God wants to restore you. God wants to restore all of us. And what is crying is that, come, when you do what I ask you to do, don't worry, I will do what you ask me to do. But when you refuse to do what I ask you to do, how can you qualify to ask me to do something? I pray God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to add this, because we are a family church. Do you know some parents don't believe that they can offend their child? Some of us parents, we don't think we can offend the child. I will show you in the Bible that you can. Can you open our Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 6? The Bible says, you fathers, provoke not what? No, your children. Somebody said his father, they are writing to no mothers. Do you know how we dodge scriptures when the scripture is talking to us? It is both things. When you offend your child, be humble enough to say, I'm sorry. so that you'll be able to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God wants every child old. God wants every family old. So if once you, when you have offended them, ask them. Say, I'm sorry. Do you know it doesn't hold anything when you tell your child that you're sorry? It doesn't make you look little. It actually increases you. Do you know when you tell your child that you're sorry, they respect you more. They said all these adults, they are good with their work. I remember there was a day we finished church and we were going down the stairs. And one child was telling the father, he said, all you adults, you always lie. On the stairs. And I will explain it to you what happened that day. They told them that they're going to the children's church. But situation changes in church. And we said, okay, all the children's church are cancelled. And the child was actually looking forward to what they would do in that children's church. So he was hounding the dad that, oh, you adult, why are you lying? He said there will be children's church and there was no children's church. And I believe that the father was trying to explain to the dad that actually it was intended. But situation changes. And but do you know what? Their minds are so fixed, are so pure. Let's keep those minds pure. When you offend them, repent, ask for forgiveness, and get things better on them. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Also, I do not see it in the Bible where the Bible says, if you're a man, if you are married to your wife, you should not say sorry. I don't know where we got it from. Some people will try to palette it. So, okay, dear, what does that mean? No, what does it mean? Okay, dear, you know it's a man thing. Okay. Or some people will even rubbish it and say, okay, you know in our own town, we don't say sorry to anybody. Let me show you what the Bible says. Because sometimes what we are doing are opinions of men or something, a lie that somebody told you. Let me show you why the Bible says, husband, you must forgive your, you must be the one to repent if you have offended your wife. Let's go to 1 Peter 3. The reason why I went through this scripture is this, so that I'll bring those things out. Let's go to 1 Peter 3. And I will show you some kind of sin men committed. Commit. 1 Peter 3:7. The Bible says, likewise, you, can you read this? You husband, so that somebody will not think that Ike Wale is just putting some names there. Likewise, you husband, dwell with them according to what? Knowledge. Giving honor to who? Your wife. When you dishonor your wife, you just sin against her. It's wrong for any man in front of your friend to dress down your wife. It is wrong for you to look at her and say, I'm just managing you. Or to say this, I've heard it before. I know the way my life was good before I met you. It's a capital offense. And you just dishonored her. They are meant to be your helper. They are designed to help your life. And you know what? They are helping your life. He said, dwell with them according, give honor to your wife as a weaker vessel. The Bible did not call them weaker vessels. He said, the way you treat things that are precious to you, treat them that way. Do you know, I've seen it. Every man that has treated their wife well, things go well with them.
That's it. Yes. Preach it, sir.
Any man that honors their wife, things go there with them. Do you know the easiest way you can have a fight with you is not to have a fight with you. It is to have a fight with my wife. Somebody did something one day. I don't know what the problem was. The first thing the person said is that, he said, Minister Wale, I'm going to fight your wife. I said, you fought me. Do you know when the person hear what I said, the person just frustrated and said, I'm sorry, sir. And he walked away. We never discussed what he was saying. Do you know the point is this? I cannot say that I'm honoring pastor and be fighting his wife. I cannot say say I'm honoring a brother and be fighting with his wife is in dishonor. And when you do that, you are sending a signal, and it's a dangerous one. And you know something? That is why, look at this one. This one was tied to prayer too. I was shocked where I saw unforgiveness, or when you don't forgive people, when it's tied to prayer. Look at this part. He said, as being heir together of the grace of life, that what? That your prayer will not be hindered. Did you see prayer being hindered? Have you seen a man that fought his wife now and is going to prayer meeting? What is he going there to do? You should have called the man and just don't waste your time. Come back in. Come and come. Or you fought your husband and said, I'm going to prayer meeting. To do what? Or you just fought now and said, and let's forget about that. Let's do the night prayer. What night prayer are you doing? Do you know why I'm going this way is this? If you have any issue, resolve it. Do you know what I mean? One of the easy ways is this. You cannot control what other party will do. If you go there and say, I'm sorry for what happened. I repent of it. And the other person said, I will not forgive you. Leave them alone. That's it. That's not your job. You cannot force people to forgive you. But you can forgive them. Because some people say, what you have done is so much. I'm not in this lifetime. Or by the time I'm about to die, I'll just ask God for forgiveness. Do you know what some people do? When they're about to die, it is then they will remember everybody that have sinned against them. It is then call like whether I need to repent. No, it's too late. Why are you wasting time? Now is the time to make amends. And if you don't have that courage, you will not move forward too much. God wants you to move forward. God wants to help you. God wants to assist you. But God is saying that if you are disobeying my word, a simple thing, forgive. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I have many things to say, but I think I'm running out of time. I need to go to where the issue is. Now, issue in church. Because I've seen many people come to me and say, I'm just agony. Okay, let me give you this story. It's a story. I used to teach baptismal class. And one of the core topics in baptismal class is this story. So as I was preaching it, I was saying it. And all of a sudden, we finished. I remember we were having that class around me. We finished. And we left. The sister called me back. Look, you said something during the Bible class. I don't know. I don't think that I'm going to do it. I said, sister, what is it? I wasn't personal. I said I was just teaching what the Bible said. He said the issue of forgiveness. He said one sister offended me. And I don't think you can reconcile. I said, why? He said, do you know what she did? I said, actually, I don't know. If you don't know, maybe I. He now narrated the story. And now I explained to her, I said, I'm not the one that wrote the Bible. So, you can't hold me guilty of preaching what is in the Bible. But why don't you give me a go? Do what God said you should do. And see what God will do. As though God was personally ministering to her. Do you know when she did it? It was few weeks after down the line. I was the one taking testimony. She said, you will not believe me. Praise the Lord. Our papers has come. I said, wow. Look at that. How would you know that forgiving somebody was tied to paper issue? How do we know how many miracles was tied to you holding somebody in? Imagine if you just obey what God said. Will it not be the easiest of things for God to help you? I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Yeah. I want us to go through this process because many people say different things, but it's always good to look at what the Bible says. If somebody offends you, how do you go about it? Can we open our Bible to the book of Matthew? Because somebody is saying, Raleigh, everything you said is good. How do I go about it? I will show you. The book of Matthew chapter 18 from verse 15. He said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass or sin against you, go and tell the fault between what?
Between you and the person alone.
So that's the first line. If somebody offends you,
go to the person.
But I want to advise you, when you go to people, don't use this word. Avoid these words. You've always been doing that. That is not true. That's how you normally do. That's not true. Don't use that word. Every other person has told me that's how you do it. Did you notice that? How many people did you consult before you come to meet them or meeting? It will not work. Tell the person what the problem is. And tell the person how you feel by what you did. Allow them to come back to you.
Praise the Lord.
So the first line is that if somebody did something to you, walk up to them. Particularly do it in private. Don't draw somebody and say, I want you to be a witness that I forgive you. That's not the first line. Ask the person. I'm so this is what you do. And this is how we do feel. Many people that I've seen, when you approach them that way, they come back and say, I'm sorry. And that ends.
Praise the Lord.
He said, and him alone. And if the person hear you, you have gained your brother or you have gained your sister. Verse 16. But if they will not hear you, take one or how many people? Two more people. So that in the mouth of one or two witnesses, let every word be established. To reconcile family.
Praise the Lord.
If that did not work, he said, if the person neglect to hear you, then tell it to the church. Please. When he said tell it to the church, the Bible did not say you should come on the podium and announce. But somebody said, I'm going to report to every member of the church. No. When he's talking about the church, he's talking about church leadership. And tell them what you've done. I've gone to the person personally. I've gone to two other people. Just to be concerned. Because you didn't listen. Now I'm coming to you. Then just leadership knows how to walk around it. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm rounding up now. Please, Ephesians 4, verse 30 says this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be taken, put away from you with all malice. The Bible says what? Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. What did the Bible say? Forgiving one another. Even for God, even as God, for Christ's sake, have what?
Forgiving.
I'm going to end it here. I've said many things. God's word is a mirror. It has reflected things to you. The opportunity has presented itself to you again. What are you going to do about this? Are you going to ignore it? Or you are going to report it to another person? You know when people do this? My sister, I would have loved you to be in church. You would have heard what concerning you. Did you notice that all this truth is not about one person? It's about all of us. No one person is singled out. It is all of us. I want us to bow down our head and talk to God. Courage to forgive. The first person I want you to ask help for is you. Anything, any area that you've done things wrong with God, ask. That God, I'm sorry. God knows what you have done before you report yourself. So, it is good that you deal with it. Just ask Him. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for what I've done to you. If you have any issue with any other person, repent. Tell God how sorry you are, the way you acted, the way you handled it. If you have not handled it right, repent. Ask God for forgiveness. And if people have come to you to ask for forgiveness, release them from your heart. Because your Father knows your heart. The person that you say you forgive and you didn't forgive, I don't know. But God knows your heart. He said, if you do not forgive people from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So forgive them. Let them go. And the third part is this. I want you to forgive yourself too. If you ask for forgiveness, don't think little of yourself. God has called you his own child. If you have been tested before him, let the sin go. God has forgiven you. The blood of Jesus has been shed for you.